Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Well, I know for me, it was the easiest thing to rip off the band-aid of procrastination to start getting my message out there. And if you haven't heard about Anchor already, which I'm sure many of you have if you're listening to my show, it is the free tool that makes podcasting for anyone super easy. Like I said, it's free. There are tons of creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. This was a game changer for me because I absolutely had no excuse not to get it done. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so that you can be heard on Spotify, Apple, and many more. What I love about it is that you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. This is a game changer for us beginning podcasters to actually start driving some revenue from putting our message out there. It's really everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the Reminder Remedy. I'm your host, Alina Conley, reminding you that everything you need is everything you got. And we're here at episode number 12, talking about transferable skills, how to make everything you touch turn to gold. Okay, so regardless of your industry, job, or business, I personally believe there are a few set of transferable skills that I think will allow you to succeed at virtually anything that you decide to do. For me personally, after going from the corporate space, working in investment banking and on Wall Street, which is one of the hardest industries to land a job in, especially during the time that I came in 2008, and then going to network marketing, which I personally think is one of the hardest industries to succeed in. In fact, only 0.001% actually tend to make significant income in this industry, I think it's fair to share a few things that have stuck out to me in terms of a skill set to really be successful. So in today's episode, I'm going to share those exact skill sets that I personally think have been so instrumental in my success in both industries. And then I'm also going to include a bonus. I'm going to share, how do you know when it's time to make a move? How do you know when it's time to take action and embrace some type of shift or change in your life? Get ready. This episode is going to set you up for success, whether it's going to be a new venture, a current venture, or something that you don't even know is coming your way yet. This episode of The Reminder Remedy is dedicated to my line sister, Tamara Johnson Thompson, who recently passed after complications during her childbirthing experience to her new baby girl, Ryan Rose. I would love to dedicate this episode to Tamara because she was so instrumental in me landing my first job. She was very, very hands-on with me coming through college and getting those professional development skill sets and a lot of those tangible skill sets that I'll be sharing today. She also used to say this thing to me all the time. She would always say front. She was my front. She used to say back. And she used to actually say this to everybody because this is just how she was. She used to say, continue to inspire and aspire. And so on today's episode, I want us to keep that in mind. Keep Tamara's words in mind. If you've seen a little bit of her story on my page, you can continue to support her family and her daughter in the coming weeks through her GoFundMe, which I have put a direct link on my Instagram page at alinaconley.com. Just simply click the link in my bio and you will see her GoFundMe campaign. All right, so I briefly dropped a bomb on some of my followers on Instagram. And so I'll just confirm again over here as promised. But after 5 years and quite the journey, an amazing journey, my husband Prince and I decided to recently resign from our position with It Works Global. And while it has been the most rewarding thing that I personally have ever done, it also was one of the hardest things. things. I think that, you know, it's kind of like how they say about New York City. If you can make it in network marketing, you can pretty much make it anywhere. And so a lot of the things that I've experienced over the last 5 years, you know, just really built so much character in me. I think that it has given me so much confidence in the direction that I'm headed, kind of similar to my experience with New York. You know, it's kind of like if you can survive there, you can survive anywhere. One of the number one questions that I have received over the last 5 years during my network marketing career was just really, how did you do it? Like, what in the world do I need to do? You know, especially in the day and age where so many people, you know, side hustles and home-based businesses, you know, online businesses are really becoming a must to actually survive and to have multiple streams of income. Many people just want to know the secret sauce. So I'm going to kind of take some time today to share with you what has personally worked for me. So let's get right into it. So number one, you want to learn the industry. And a lot of the advice that I'm going to be giving today is, you know, specific to my experience in that particular industry. But I think that the bigger point is that a lot of these skill sets are transferable, because that's the ultimate goal. You know, you really don't know at what point a new opportunity is going to be placed in front of you. But if you have a certain set of skills, you can really thrive in any environment. You know, learning the industry was really one of those transferable skills that I brought with me from my Wall Street prep days. So I can think about, you know, my last year or so in college, as we were trying to work for our internships, because we knew internships the summer before graduation really determined what offer we were going to get post graduation. So I was just so diligent in those days, day and night, studying financial services, reading the Wall Street Journal every day, you know, following stocks every day, sitting down with upperclassmen or people who had the job that I wanted, and really getting them to interview me, do prep questions, and read as much as I could about the space. And the same type of thing has to be applied to your side hustles. So whether you decide that you want to start a blog, maybe you want to start selling hair online, maybe you want to do some internet marketing, maybe you want to be an influencer on Instagram, or you want to do affiliate marketing. You know, all of these industries have ropes to know, skip and ropes to know. That's kind of a saying that we used to have in the School of Business. And a lot of the things that you can expect, or the things that you'll need to know to succeed without, you know, losing money or without wasting too much time, can really be found online, through Google, through books, et cetera. For me personally, in the network marketing space, I feel like this gave me a competitive edge, you know, because when most people start a side hustle or a home-based business, you know, because they still have a full-time job that's going to really pay their bills, they are not committed to the process, right? So you never say, okay, let me go and learn this industry. You know, instead, you're still treating it like a hobby, and it continues to pay you like a hobby, and people respect you as if you're a hobbyist, right? So, you know, this gave me a competitive advantage, but it also allowed me to get the lay of the land. So I was able to know what to expect. So when I experienced certain things that were new to me in this space, I wasn't completely blindsided. I remember probably my second week with It Works, I read a book called How to Be a Network Marketing Superstar, you know, because I said, hey, I used to read all these books about, you know, private banking and investment banking. Let me take that same skill set and do some research over here so that I can understand that, oh, 10% of the people that I actually talk to will convert. So that if I talk to 100 people and 90 of them tell me no, I'm not all in my feelings thinking that something is wrong with me. I just know that these are industry standards, right? You see where I'm going with this? The more you know, the better you can understand where you're headed. Okay. So then the other thing that I would say is going to be an absolute skill set or tangible skill set in this industry and others is to remain coachable. So I remember I used to get on, like, you know, calls, training calls when you first kind of join these things or whatever. And I would always hear people say, remain coachable, be a sponge. And it's like, okay, cool. That's what's up. Like, what does that even really mean? Okay. What it means is that if somebody who has already achieved what you would like to accomplish, is in your space, they have to know something, right? So, you know, whether you are actually bringing something to the table or not, you know, that doesn't matter, because you still haven't achieved what you're looking to achieve, and they have. So it's like, the sooner you can stop focusing on proving that, you know, you are great, or you have, you know, a great network, or you have great work ethic, you can then truly become that sponge, and the more money you will make, you know. So I know that a lot of times when people come to a space, they're bringing skills that are not necessarily needed, right? So, and a good example of that for me, not truly understanding what being coachable meant, was, you know, I came from a background where everything was very detail oriented. If we were doing something, we were doing it big. We were having a big marketing campaign. And, you know, in the network marketing space, everything is about duplication and simplicity. So that was something that I didn't really understand, but yet somebody had told me, but because I thought, oh, well, maybe they're just not as creative as me, or maybe they're just not a marketing genius like me. So let me go and create this amazing website. Let me do this big launch. Let me have this whole campaign name, you know. And while that worked for me, guess what? A lot of my team members that came after me, they were stunned, because they felt like, oh, well, I don't know how to build a website. I don't know anything about marketing. I don't know how to do X, Y, and Z. And so the things that I did not duplicate. And duplication is a skill in my particular industry. So had I been coachable, had I listened, and really had I, you know, done more research early on, I wouldn't have wasted my time doing what was just going to work for me. What's the point of doing something that's going to work for you when you can keep it simple, and it can work for you plus 10,000 more people? That's when you're going to start seeing bank. All right. So it would be remain coachable, you know, get with the people who already know how to do the things that you want to accomplish, and listen to them. And then the next thing that I want to talk about in terms of transferable skill sets, but this is really a transferable mindset in anything that you do, that I feel like for me really developed the most in my time with It Works, is understanding sacrifice, understanding seasons, and understanding the benefit and the value of doing a 90-day run. Okay. So number one, when you set a goal, the first thing that you should do is ask yourself, what am I willing to sacrifice to get to this goal? This is something that for many people, even though it sounds like, oh, yeah, duh, everything is about a sacrifice, 90% of the people that I coached over 5 years, or that I watched, you know, whether they were personally enrolled by me or not, you know, they never were willing to really sacrifice. You know, that was the biggest difference between the people that were making five figures a month and the people that was making $50 a month. You know, many of us came in and said, you know, what could our life look like if in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you know, we made over $1 million, you know, what would our life look like? And if that was something that was important to us, if being able to stay home with our kids was important to us, being able to be debt free was important to us, being able to have our dream wedding was important to us, we were willing to sacrifice certain things in the present day that most people were not. Okay. So I know for me, you know, for the first 2-3 years of my business, I didn't really have much of a social life. You know, every now and then I would get out, I would travel, go to big events, you know, birthday parties and such. But in general, on the weekends and in the evenings, most of that free time that most people are chilling and kicking it, I was in somebody's living room doing a presentation. I was on a webinar training someone or onboarding someone. I was doing a lot of stuff that was not sexy and that was not fun, but that was sacrificial and that set me and my family up for success. The other reason why I was able to get through such a sacrificial period, and why I don't mind sacrificing, you know, at the times that I decide to, is because I understand the seasons of business. And if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that when I think about the word balance, I like to trade it out for this concept of seasons. You know, and I know that in network marketing, we had certain seasons that, you know, things would flourish. So that means that, you know, if I knew that I could make a certain amount of money in a certain point in the year, then maybe I want to sacrifice more time during that to build my business so that I didn't have to sacrifice other times in the year that I want to prioritize my family or travel or whatever, right? And so, you know, my biggest thing with that was understanding that balance was not going to be perfect every single day. Yet when I look at the bigger scope of things, you know, when I think about, you know, how I evened out over the year and how that was going to actually add up to the greater good, you know, years down the road, I was willing to sacrifice and work in those seasons. And then this is a little bit more specific to this industry, but I know that such a huge portion of my subscribers, you know, either are looking to get into the industry or are still in it and wanting success. So specific to this type of industry is that 90-day runs, at least one big 90-day run is going to be so key to your success. So a 90-day run is basically when you say, you know, for the next 90 days, I'm going to be laser focused on this goal. Like, this is all that matters for me and my team. And you have to have the buy-in and you have to have the agreement of everybody that plays a role, including the people that are not even in your business. So whether that's your husband, your mama, your kids, your nanny, whoever affects your productivity and your ability to focus in for a 3-month period, that is going to be essential. Sacrifice seasons and understand the value of a 90-day run. Now, one of my favorite skills and something that I wish I could just get a t-shirt made and put it across my chest is authenticity. And so if you want to hear me rant about the power of authenticity, please go back and listen to episode 1, Your People Are Not Your People, because it talks about how through your authenticity, you are able to really attract your tribe, you know. And so when you think about a business, when you think about, you know, a new venture, right? You're getting hired for even a job based on your authenticity. You know, with so many resumes on the table, a lot of times you can't even really make your impression until you get into an interview or you start giving, you know, case studies. And in those, you're giving an authentic perspective that only you can bring to the table. So, you know, in my 5-year experience, that has probably been my greatest tangible and the way that I've been able to connect with so many women, even in growing this podcast, is that I got to first understand who I am, what makes me happy, what makes me laugh, what are the things that, you know, I find value in, and being okay with that so that the way that I communicate my messaging is super authentic. And I think that when you're being authentic, you will naturally be consistent. The problem is that a lot of times people fail in certain industries because there's no consistency, but there's no consistency because what you're doing is not natural because you're not being yourself. It's not hard to wake up and be yourself every day, but if you're waking up, you know, trying to put on a salesy showman's face, or you're trying to be this professional businesswoman, and that's not really, you know, the image that your target audience is looking for, like, you got to kind of find a way to authentically be you and pull that out in a consistent manner. And that's going to attract people to you. That's going to allow you to grow a business that's super people driven because they feel like they know you, even if they've never met you. And so, you know, the activity that I talk about in Your People Are Not Your People is not only encouraging you to be authentic, but it's imploring you to dig deeper to figure out what that really looks like. Because a lot of times, you know, depending on who we have to be at our real jobs, you know, when it comes to building a business that thrives off of authenticity and resonating with others, we don't even know who that person is anymore because we've had to be this other, you know, kind of perfected version of ourselves in our corporate space or whatever. Okay. So authenticity and consistently being authentic is a skill set that I feel like enough of us are not really improving upon or being really aware of when we think about our interactions with other people. And so that takes me to my next tangible skill set that I also think was very significant, or played a very significant role in my success, is really understanding the psychology of humans. All right. And this, the whole purpose of this is so that you can build better relationships. Okay. So especially when you're in an industry that is focused on coaching and an industry that's focused on helping other people be successful, simply put, you can serve others best when you understand them. All right. So you've probably seen me talk about how, you know, one of the ways that a lot of people on my team were able to see success was because I took a customized approach with each of them. This is not something that I did initially out the gate. It's something that I realized has to be done because cookie cutter does not work. If we're all created different, how can I teach you the same? How can I onboard you the same? How can I motivate you the same? It's just not going to work. You know, so cookie cutter, scripts, all that kind of stuff, that's the easy way out. That's little money. All right. But when you can take the time to figure people out and figure out what's going to make them thrive the best through their authentic self, then that's when you will really be compensated, because that takes more work. That's going to take you rolling up your sleeves. You've probably heard me even mention, you know, different personality colors. This is something that actually I got my hands on in my corporate days with JP Morgan. One of the last roles I had with the firm was with a team called Talent and Development, which was all about trying to understand, you know, what made our leaders successful. What, you know, who, if we were doing succession planning, who were the people that we wanted to put in the forefront to start grooming based on how they worked with people, how they were able to deal with conflict. And a lot of the things that we looked at in terms of their personality traits started with who they were, you know, as children, you know, how they were raised, the environments they were raised in, challenges that they dealt with, right? And so I was able to transfer some of these skills to my entrepreneurial network marketing business, because I was able to sit down and get to know people, understand, you know, what made people fearful? What were, you know, were they more concerned with what people thought than, you know, being successful? You know, were they introverted? Were they extroverted? You know, and a lot of times we spend so much time, you know, saying, oh, well, this is my personality type. And that's cool. Like, we should all know our colors and our personality types. But it's not until you understand the other color personality types that you really, you know, make a difference. You really connect the dots. And so that part takes more studying. That part is not something that you could just read a book on. It's experience, right? A lot of this stuff is experience. And so when we talk about consistency, a lot of the skill sets that you want to be successful in businesses, you know, they're not going to come just by reading a book. Like, the theoretical knowledge will be there, you know, but the application will not be there. You know, and understanding how to do it, how to finesse it. It's just not going to happen because you've never practiced it, right? So we have to give ourselves, number one, enough time to stick around to even, you know, grow those muscles, grow those relationships, grow the almost like the understanding of others. But then kind of to my first point, you know, doing the research on it. You know, one of my favorite books is How to Win Friends and Influence People. It has helped me so much in my career because it makes me take a step back and never take things personal. It makes me understand why other people say and do what they do. You know, whether they're saying no to an opportunity, whether they're saying no to increasing their income, or whether they're saying yes. A lot of the things that they tell me in those same sentences help me to identify why they are doing those things. And through that identification, I can provide them a customized solution based on my own experience working with similar type of people. Okay. So invest in understanding the type of people that, you know, you're coaching or you're training or that, you know, you're getting to know, even if they're not, you know, people that are making money with you, your customers, the psychology of how they buy and spend and the captions that you put is so important. And it's going to be a tangible skill that you can take anywhere. And then lastly, some advice that I can give you about really just finding success in the unknown is just number one, taking the leap. Okay, that's the hardest part. All right, just saying, all right, I'm out. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's try this. That part is so courageous. But even in that being such a courageous moment, it's really the first step of many, right? Because then you have to kind of remove the mask. And when I talk about, you know, being able to survive network marketing, you know, I personally feel like people in this industry, you know, get compensated so well because we do the hard work of understanding and caring and serving people, which most people are not willing to do. But in doing that, you have to remove the mask. And what I mean by that is the mask of who you were before you became the servant to others, right? It's kind of like putting that ego aside and really looking in the mirror to identify the things that perhaps, you know, made you have an ego and that kept you in a space where you really weren't humble. This was probably the biggest life lesson for me and the reason why I will forever be grateful for my experience, because this industry stripped me of every single quality that I found. It was like almost like a false idol in my life, right? So when I first came into the space, you know, I came from a sexy industry. I came from a title and a company that if I said it behind my name, it made me feel some type of way. Like, yeah, boom, I work for JP Morgan. Yeah, boom, I live in New York City, right? You know, I was very into fashion. So a lot of times, you know, my who I was behind, you know, what I wore or, you know, what I was going to wear to certain events. You know, in addition to that, I was also raised in a household where education was important, but beyond education being important, people, you know, clothed themselves in accolades. So it wasn't just okay to just get one degree. You had to have, you know, a master's and your master's master's. Okay. Shout out to Kanye. You see what happened to him. But it's one of those things where with this industry, in order for you to be successful, you couldn't have one foot in, one foot out. You know, I used to tell people I couldn't be a undercover rap girl because guess what? I wasn't going to be able to really capitalize on my compensation plan and create the life that I wanted to live and leverage this vehicle that I wanted to if I was so afraid of what other people were going to say. I'll never forget when one of my line sisters who partnered with me, she said to me, she said, Alina, this is one of the hardest things that I've ever done. Not because that the actual work is hard, because it's very simple and approach, but it's hard because I just realized how much I care about what people think. You know, I just realized how much, you know, I'm afraid of rejection. You know, I realized that my work ethic sucks. And this is not necessarily that particular person, but some of the other things that I've heard is, you know, I realized that I wasn't willing to give up brunch, you know, to make an extra dollar, you know, and a lot of these things are cool because once again, seasons, but it's kind of realizing that at some point, if we expect success, you know, we have to look in the mirror and think about what are the things that I've read constantly in these books that I've heard constantly on these podcasts that I see on all of these, you know, motivational Instagram celebrity pages. What are the things that I see and the clues that have been dropped? But yet when I hold up the mirror, I still have been unwilling to do. And until you're able to take that leap, take off the mask of who you think you need to be or had to be to, you know, impress or to feel good about yourself. Because a lot of times it's not even others. You know, sometimes you get to the point where you like, ugh, you know, I thought I was going to be this. I thought I was going to be that, you know, and you disappoint yourself until you, you know, maybe get that or get close to that. And you realize, oh, shoot, I have everything that I thought I was going to need. And yet I'm still not happy. And the reason why is because we never took the mask off, because we never did the work to really understand who our authentic self was. And we really weren't able to live in a space where we were authentically being ourselves consistent enough and long enough to really even realize we had a doggone mask on in the first place, right? So, you know, one of the biggest things that I can take away from a space like this and that I encourage you all to do is to run towards, like lean into the fear, you know, like lean into the risk taking. And by leaning in, I'm physically like leaning my shoulder into like, okay, it looks like this is going to burn. It looks like this is going to hurt. It looks like this is going to be a challenge, but guess what? I'm going to get there and then I'm going to be born again. You know, I'm going to be removed of the things that weigh me down. A lot of them that are self-sabotaging. And in doing that, when I go to be successful in my hobbies or my next venture or whatever, you know, I've already gone through this shedding. I've already gone through this caterpillar phase where I've come out and I'm like, look, I'm ready to run. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to coach. I'm ready to be here for someone else because I can really, you know, from a great space, walk towards the place that I'm meant to be because I've taken the time to learn these skill sets. And now the skill sets that I've learned in one season of my life, I can transfer to the next season of my life. So as a bonus, I want to talk about, you know, how do you know when to move? How do you know when to take some transferable skills to that next phase? How do you know how to recognize a shift in the atmosphere? Number one, you can feel it. You know, you can feel it in your gut. You can feel it in your energy. Everything that you do, you know, will feel a little off or will feel a little uncomfortable because God is really letting you know, all right, sis, you know, you've been in this space for a little minute. It's time to stretch. It's time to grow. You know, a lot. Have you ever just, you know, woken up from a nap or been on a plane and you just felt like, you know, he just put so much on your spirit that you had to go just write it down. All these ideas, all of these feelings, all of these thoughts. You know, and it's just like a little taste of the things that he has waiting for you. And now it's like you're brought back to reality and you have to think about what am I going to do? You know, and the discomfort comes from knowing, you know, seeing a little glimpse in these dreams and in these visions and still doing nothing about it. And so I'll just kind of share for me personally, you know, how I knew it was time to transition from this phase of or this season of my life, you know, after 5.5 years, which, of course, was not easy for me, you know, not easy at all. You know, when you think about the relationships built, when I think about the lives that have been changed, like, you know, me and my husband every day, thank God for our experience, because we would have never been able to be home full time with each other, with our kids, you know, paying off so much debt, building our home, having our dream wedding debt free, you know, taking our dream honeymoon. Like that stuff wouldn't have been possible, period. Even in the best of our careers, like we would just not be catching up. So, you know, when I think about even being still a top earner in my company and giving up, just similar to what my first leap, giving up great money, you know, that part is hard, you know, especially when you got another kid on the way, you know, like that's something that you really got to be like, girl, are you serious? You know, but I have found in the past that a lot of times, one of the things that I've experienced is that if you're not going to move, he's going to make you move. Right. And so there were some things that happened where it was kind of like now or never. You know, there were some things put in front of me that was like, you know, there needs to be a decision in the next couple of days and next couple of weeks. And, you know, time is just simply not going to wait for you. And, you know, me and some of my colleagues laugh and we say, you know, things couldn't have happened any differently. You know, like I never really thought, okay, you know, what will that look like? It'll just kind of ease on off. But he had to shake it up. He had to shake it up in a way where decisions had to be made. But I think that one of the things that for me personally, I knew that it was no coincidence was that in my spirit, I knew I felt it coming. You know, I felt like there were a lot of things that were tired of sitting in a notebook. And then I also felt like, you know, I was no longer aligned to my priorities. I've shared with you guys, you know, that I have my third child on the way. I've also shared with you that, you know, Parker has a lot going on that requires a lot of time out of me. And so my priority as a mother and as needing a substantial amount of time for my family has just increased more than ever before, you know, so I needed to position myself to not only continue to be there for my family, but be there even more, but not have to sacrifice, you know, dreaming bigger, which is something that I talked about on my last, you know, Unmastering Motherhood, was that just because, you know, expenses are about to grow with another baby or whatever, I'm not going to stop dreaming. I'm not going to start shrinking my lifestyle because I'm afraid of, you know, going to the next level in my career or meeting the right people or partnering with the right people, to give me what, you know, the desires of my heart, you know, and that part never, you know, never know what that's going to look like when it lands on your table. But when it does, you know, and so listen to your spirit, listen to your gut, pray about it, and then make a move. That was one of my favorite quotes when I first started my business, was, you know, from Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, successful people make quick decisions, you know, and sometimes we can ponder and we can be smart about it, but then a lot of times we just got to rip the Band-Aid off. Okay. And that's what I did. And so here we are. I'm taking my second leap in life. And, you know, I spent a lot of time being scared, shaking in my boots, not sleeping. But where I am now is very confident, because when I look back on all these skills that I know that I have, it's impossible for me to fail. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Reminder Remedy. To keep up with me, stay on my Instagram page, continue to tune into the podcast, and you can also head over to resultswithalina.com to learn all about everything that I got going on with my newest business venture. I think it's going to be exciting for so many of you all. So I look forward to seeing you on the other side.